Hi, this is John Jenkins, Senior Editor of DealLawyers.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's podcast. Today, we're once again addressing the universal proxy rules and specifically what you may need to think about doing with your bylaws in order to address them. Joining me today to share his insights into that topic is Steve Haas. Steve is a partner in the Richmond and Washington, D.C. offices of Hunt & Andrews Kurth and co-heads the firm's M&A team. Steve should be very familiar to our members since he's guest blogged for us, authored articles for Deal Lawyers newsletter, and participated in several of our webcasts over the years. So welcome back, Steve. It's great to have you here today.
Thanks, John. Feel like a longtime caller.
So let's get right into it, Steve. Why should companies consider amending their bylaws in response to universal proxy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I'd start with maybe distinguishing between companies that should amend their bylaws versus companies that must. And there probably aren't a lot of companies that absolutely must update their bylaws in light of the universal proxy rule. But I think for most companies, it's a good idea. Most advisors believe that the universal proxy rule is going to lead to an uptick in proxy contest. We're going to continue to see, of course, the traditional activist hedge funds who've always been willing to wage a proxy fight. But we may see a new breed of activists, one who's been around, retail activist, ESG-focused activist, but groups who didn't previously wage proxy contest, and they may be willing to do so now in light of the universal proxy rule. And keep in mind that there is no minimum ownership requirement to utilize the rule. I also think, regardless of whether there's a large uptick in proxy contest, I think most advisors who work in this area pretty strongly believe that universal proxy cards are generally going to favor the dissident and are going to increase the likelihood that at least some of the dissident's nominees are elected. And this is because the universal proxy card allows investors to pick and choose who they're voting for. So there's going to be much less risk of having a later dated proxy card that changes a proxy previously given. That means less mailings. The ability to pick and choose, I think, is very important. And by some estimates, the mailing under a notice and access rule may not be that expensive. So I think for all these reasons, it's a good opportunity for companies to review advance notice bylaws. And we've been warned by the Delaware courts for years that this ought to be done on a clear day. Doesn't mean you can't do this on a cloudy day or even a stormy day, but ideally you want to amend your bylaws on a clear day when you're not facing an activist or a takeover proposal. And lastly, on this point, you know, I would just tell companies to keep in mind, what is the purpose of an advance notice bylaw? And it's to provide for an orderly shareholders meeting, it's to prevent ambushes, and it's to ensure that all material information is, one, being disclosed to the board so they can consider the nominee, but two, to make sure that the board effectively oversees that information about the activist and its nominees is being disseminated to the shareholders in the proxy contest.
Steve, can we get into some specifics here about the kind of changes that may need to be made to ensure that a company's bylaws aren't inconsistent with the universal proxy rules?
Yeah, so this is sort of the category of companies that must amend their bylaws, and that may be a little strong. But the primary issue I've seen is that there are some proxy access bylaws that say that that proxy access process is the sole means of including a shareholder's nominee in the company's proxy materials and card. I've also seen some bylaws without proxy access that flatly state that shareholders are not entitled to include their nominees in the company's proxy materials. I think a lot of those bylaws go back to the time period when the DC Circuit struck down the SEC proxy access rule. It's sort of a for the avoidance of doubt type of bylaw. But, you know, obviously neither one of those bylaws is a true statement anymore, with at least with respect to the company's proxy card in light of the new rule. Is it a big deal? No. I mean, companies have to comply with law, but I would think most companies would want to fix those bylaws, and that's really easy to do. There's another really, really minor point, but we lawyers live for minor points, right? And that's some bylaws say a shareholder has to consent to being named in the proxy statement. And under the new rules, and it's Rule 14A4D1, you have to consent to being named in a proxy statement. So we're really talking about the difference between the and a. But the prior rule was referring to the proxy statement of the party listing that nominee on its card. And the amendment reflects a more general requirement that a nominee consent to being named in a proxy statement of either side in the contest. So like I said, it's a pretty minor point.
We've talked a bit about advance notice bylaws, nomination procedures. What changes to these provisions of your bylaws ought to be considered?
So here's what I would suggest, and these definitely are in the category of, maybe you should put in these provisions. But, I tend to think these are all good changes. One is a requirement for the shareholder to represent when it submits its notice under the advance notice bylaw, whether it or its affiliates or associates intend to solicit proxies under Rule 14A19. Second is a requirement for the shareholder to provide evidence that it's actually complied with Rule 14A19, such as that it has solicited the requisite number of shareholders. And third, a provision that any proxies or votes solicited in violation of Rule 14A19 will be disregarded. And in some cases, I've actually seen bylaws say the nomination itself will be disregarded. I think when you put these provisions in your bylaws, you do need to make sure they apply to special meetings, particularly if shareholders have the ability to call a special meeting, and theoretically that could be for the removal and election of directors. There's also a few other activism-related changes that companies might consider, which maybe don't specifically invoke Rule 14A19, but are certainly relevant. And in particular, we're talking about provisions that prevent placeholder nominees or otherwise allowing the activists to change nominees after the deadline, and also bylaws that clarify that the activists can't nominate more persons that are eligible to be elected. And on these points, the SEC recently issued a CNDI that indicated that these issues were largely dependent on the company's organizational documents. And specifically what the staff said is that it wouldn't object if the dissident shareholder includes in its notice the names of additional or alternate nominees who, in accordance with the registrant's governing documents and state law, would be presented for election in the event of a need to change the slate. So I think there the staff is saying that this depends largely on state law, but also your governing documents. So I think those are important changes. I've also seen some bylaw clarifications that the shareholder has to comply with all applicable state and federal laws. Sometimes the bylaws are drafted very narrowly. I've also seen some that say you have to comply with 14A19, but I think you want to be broad and say the shareholder's got to comply with all state and federal laws, including 14A19. And then lastly, and I think this is interesting, there's been a couple bylaws that have been adopted recently that reserve the white color proxy card to management. And white card has traditionally been associated with the management slate. So I think it's an interesting bylaw and it's worth other companies considering.
Yeah, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of tactical issues like that that haven't really been seen before, but people will be scoping them out in their bylaws this year. We've talked about universal proxy, and obviously that's the 500-pound gorilla this year, but there have been some changes in Delaware law. And are any of those things that companies may want to tweak their bylaws to address?
Yeah, absolutely. I would highlight two in particular. So these were amendments that became effective in August. And the first relates to shareholder list. So DGCL Section 219 was amended to no longer require that the shareholders list be available during the shareholders meeting. This was driven largely by privacy concerns, where you've got a virtual shareholder meeting and effectively any shareholder in attendance can look at the list, they can screenshot it, and they don't need to do that. So you're not required to make the list available during meetings anymore, but a lot of bylaws track the statutory language pre-amendment. So there could be companies that find themselves in a situation where the statute doesn't require them to make that list available, but their bylaws actually affirmatively state that it has to be made available. So I think that's an update people should make. The second one relates to adjournments of shareholder meetings, and this is DGCL Section 222. And the statute says that you don't have to give notice of the adjourned meeting as to where it's being reconvened, et cetera, if the time, date, and place of the meeting are announced at the meeting when you adjourn, and that's always been the law, or are displayed during the time scheduled for the meeting on the electronic network that you're using for that virtual meeting, or set forth in the notice of meeting. So much like the shareholder list issue, there's a lot of bylaws that generally track the statutory language on adjournments, and those may need to be tweaked. And I think it's a very simple tweak. You can say that no notice is required for the adjournment as provided for under the DGCL or something like that. But it's possible a few companies could find themselves in a situation where it's not clear whether they could take advantage of these new statutes based on the wording of their existing bylaws. And then lastly, this is not unique to the 2022 amendments in Delaware, but over the past, I don't know, maybe 5 or so years, there have been a lot of changes in the DGCL to accommodate electronic transmissions and emails. I think it's worth looking at if companies haven't specifically amended for that point. And in particular, you know, one example I would cite is the default rule used to be that you needed a stockholder's consent to send an electronic notice, to send shareholder notice by email. And the default has been changed in Delaware now that you don't need consent, and the stockholder has to opt out. So all of these are things for companies to be thinking about as they do their update. You know, updating bylaws is always a good piece of annual corporate governance housekeeping. And I would just tell people to also think about timing. You know, again, getting back to the point I made earlier that you generally want to do this on a clear day, that, you know, I think if you're going to change your advance notice bylaws, you want to do that sooner rather than later as your deadline is approaching.
All right, great. And I know, as you said, Steve, it's obviously good corporate housekeeping to take a look at your bylaws and make sure they're current every year. But a lot of times people are a little bit hesitant to do that, particularly hesitant to get outside counsel involved in that review. I'll tell you that, you know, with what's going on this year, particularly with universal proxy, that's a must. And I think most companies will be much more amenable to taking a look at that and engaging outside counsel to assist in that process as well. So I would encourage everybody to start pulling out their bylaws now. As Steve says, do it on a clear day. Proxy season is rapidly approaching. It's going to start even earlier this year, I think, in terms of the activist overtures. So, you know, there's no time like the present. And Steve, I want to thank you very much for spending some time with us today and for all your insights into the changes that companies should think about making this year.
Thanks for having me.